Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 3.
Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
This epistle started with God's revealing himself to the mankind. The first prophet I remember from the scriptures was Enoch, the seventh person. The message seemed to be getting clearer and louder as the centuries rolled on. The godly soul's desire for the appearance of the deliverer was growing greater. Finally, a prophet of the last generation declared his great message, "Behold the Lamb of God." That same God is here in person. In the person of his beloved Son, God is very visible, but humanity, blinded with sin, is unable to see the sinless perfection of the Holy One in the beloved Son of the Almighty God. In endless adoration, the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. Now, here, the Father is manifested in the Son's manners, words, and deeds, a heavenly harmony, surrounded here with ugly fury of demons entrenched in human corruption. The fury is helpless. The Father in the Son is mighty. By his ransom, the Son opened the entry into the Father's perfect pleasure for the humanity and for every sinner, transformed from death to this new life. A flood of heavenly joy graced the angelic host, eager to see us join them in excelling divine glory forever and ever. It's Father's saving grace in the Son. The Son's purity and holiness is from the Father. The splendor of heavens shall not endure forever, but God, with his beloved Son, at the Father's right-hand side, remains in eternally excelling glory and majesty. That is the bliss appointed for his bride in his embrace of everlasting love at the endless wedding feast. Even enemies are turned from stumbling into stepping stones, sinful deadness into life in sanctification. The barriers become bridges, because our Deliverer did break the bars of our prison, and the angels, the ministering spirits, are thrilled to minister to us in that glorious victory of His gospel in our salvation. The second chapter is turning our attention to that gospel. Every distraction is a loss. Other attractions are deadly. The gravity of the old law is teaching us the enormous importance of the New Testament in Christ, our ransom. Before our eyes, the Father is manifested in the Son and confirmed by many miracles. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Humanity is lost, helpless, hopeless, and dead in sin. Christ our Savior and Lord found his lost sheep. He is helper to the helpless, life to the dead. He delivers from sin. Christ is exalted, sinner is saved. We need him all the time, and he is always available to us. First two verses of this chapter 3 turn our steady attention to our Savior and Lord, to behold him in his beauty, the beauty of his holiness at the right side of the Almighty Father, Psalm 110, at the same time as he appears in the flesh in our midst, the brightness of his Father's glory in humble majesty, chapter 1, verse 3. In first two verses I read, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." By the grace of God, this should be the identification of every genuine disciple of our Lord. All the holy brethren are separated from the last world of sin and death and placed under God's Holy Spirit's lordship and in the process of sanctification. Partaking of the heavenly calling is not limited to eternity after the journey here is ended. We are blessed by feasting on the bread of life all the way. Christ's heavenly calling is the fulfillment of his own words in John 5:25. We are admonished here to behold, consider, admire, and adore the apostle, the Father's perfect and complete grace messenger, eternal great high priest, taking us in his own person into the presence of the Lord of Sabaoth's grace, Romans 9:29 and James 5:4. Diverse factions of Jewish society of that time had their professions, like Pharisees, Sadducees, and others. The writers of the Holy Scriptures and also the genuine believers are all united in the same profession: Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, is the only name given unto us to be saved in, Acts 4:10-12. Moses was faithful servant of the Lord God of Israel. In Deuteronomy 34:10-12, we have a bright testimony. The Lord Jesus Christ alone was blameless, perfect, all the days among us on earth. Moses suffered so much through the unbelief and rebellion of his people. The Lord suffered more than anyone. I perceive that the Lord suffered more than all his people together endured through all ages. Even to the end of times, he is the one that bears our burdens And when we feel that we are suffering over our limits, He carries us in His loving arms. He is building His house, and none of His redeemed souls is lost. In John 3:25-36, we can read about loyalty and adoration of John the forerunner for the Lord Jesus. Moses could not have less loyalty, adoration, and faithfulness for our Lord God than the forerunner. This detailed comparing Moses with the Redeemer was the need of the Hebrews blinded in sectarian pride. This harmful blindness is a result of elevating any person or any part of the Holy Scriptures above the proper place and position given by the eternal author of the living word of salvation and truth. Another common pitfall of sectarianism is downgrading some small, insignificant teachings of the Holy Truth. Matthew 5:19-20. In the life and ministry of every faithful witness of God's Word, we can see some of the graces that are in fullness revealed only in the Savior, the Son of God. Our Heavenly Father designed and created the entire salvation, and according to His perfect wisdom and will, He placed each part of that great building in its best place. There is an amazing true story about a great servant of the Lord God of Israel and her enormously bright ministry in the 2 Kings 5. In the verses 2 and 3 is the witness, and the whole chapter is the testimony of our Lord's great loving care for His faithful souls. I love to name this little prophetess the Blessed Faithful. God made her a part of His building of salvation and faithfulness. When we believe the gospel, trust and obey the Lord, we are all parts of God's building. Christ is the author and designer, the foundation and the builder, sustainer of the whole building and of every part of it. Moses was faithful, and we must be. Christ is the creator of faithfulness in the heart and of the testimony in the life of every witness of His. When we live and grow in His Word and Spirit, our confidence and our joy in His salvation is growing till we hear His final call, or we see Him returning triumphantly. In Matthew 25:21, He said, "Well done." The Lord says, "Well done, thou faithful servant." It is well done. He did it all. He is all in all, Revelation 1:8. A concept of confrontation and competition between Christ and Moses is a misunderstanding. To see the Redeemer's grace in the life of Moses and in the testimonies of all the faithful is the true gospel understanding. Clear and sound vision of the King is admonishing us, as Peter did in 1 Peter 2:5. These six verses reveal so much about the great high priest. The next words teach us safe response. The Spirit of Christ has been speaking since the beginning of time and will continue to the end of times. Let us continue in prayers, meditation on and application of His Word, that we grow in ability of understanding His guidance and follow it heartily lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Psalm 28:2 and 1 Timothy 2:8. Let us not be troubled in our hearts, nor let us be afraid. John 14:27. The Lord is with us always. Let us be sober and on guard as we wait for our Master's appearance. Luke 12:36 and 37. 21:34. Romans 13:13. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 and 1 Peter 4:7. Neglecting prayerful practice of the gospel, a heart gets hardened. With the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6:11, we will not be controlled by fear. Testing of the faithful produces godly testimony. Trials of the disobedient reveal their rebellion and hardness of their heart. We have the records of the faithful to admonish us in the Lord, and examples of rebellion, lest we stumble. The rebellious Hebrews died in the wilderness. Everyone rebelling against the will of God is in his own wilderness of disobedience. The faithful in the Lord are feasting on the bread of life and drinking from the fountain of the living water. John 6:33-40. The way of true faith and salvation demands patience. The sum of every other way is a lot more suffering, and that hopelessly. By constant rebellion, a 40-day journey is turned into 40 years and ended by dying in the wilderness. When a man believes he knows better than the Lord, that man is bringing disaster to his own life. Safety is in godly faithfulness, as we often encounter in the Scriptures, and very much so in this epistle. The words are so multidimensional that I feel my need to go back to the older records and search out the meaning for us today. It appears to me these words in the verses 7 through 11 are referring to the rebellion in the Numbers 13 and 14. Among the tribal leaders appointed to search the land of Canaan, two were faithful and the rest were faithless. The faithful speak the facts as they see them, and the faithless speak as they see the reality. In a way, both opinions are confirmed later. The faithful prevailed against their enemies, the others failed. In the Numbers 13:32, the last half of the verse, we see the confusion of the rebellion. The land is so evil that it devours its own inhabitants to such an extent that they are giants, not anemic, half-dead shadows. In the chapter 14, verses 21 through 24, we see the result of neglected godliness and subsequent rebellion. In the Psalm 95, we see the majesty of God. In the verses 6 and 7 is our proper response, hearty adoration. From the verse 8 is the admonishment for us not to harden our hearts. We must be on guard. Hardening is becoming closed for God's stream of grace and ready to despise His gifts and blessings, ready to rebel. These people have seen God's mighty work, yet they refused to acknowledge God as God and to recognize their greatest enemy, their corruption, their wickedness. In Exodus 3, God revealed Himself to Moses and sent him with the message to the children of Israel and to Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt. Even before that time, and more so from that moment on, the Lord is teaching the Hebrews and us to discern between God's grace and God's wrath. God has not suddenly lost His patience. He is patient beyond the limits of my understanding. God's justice did not tolerate rebellion ever. God is merciful, patient, and just. In the verse 12, we have an urgent admonishment. When I find in my heart some difficulty believing God's word or any part of it, I need to recognize the wickedness of my heart and instantly to fall prostrate before my Lord with confession and my plea for His deliverance. He is my only Savior. Departing from the living God is falling into the pangs of Satan, the destroyer of our soul's blessedness. Our mutual exhortation ought to be toward greater confidence in and faithfulness to our Lord God. We owe Him our deepest gratitude and adoration with the highest reverence and diligent, hearty submission. The deceitfulness of sin was manifested long ago in the Garden of Eden. Satan promised wisdom in transgression, Genesis 3:1-7. Devil's sly treachery is obvious in many recorded downfalls of religious but negligent people. Many godly witnesses were preserved in faith through prayerful, diligent loyalty. Our Lord Jesus left us His example in Matthew 4:1-11. I would suggest to the readers of these lines or listeners of this recording to take time and listen to the presentation on Matthew 4:1-11, all three parts. The enemy is offering the kingdoms of the whole world. He enslaved humanity by his lie and sinful lust. But he has no power to give anything worthy to anyone. If he could, he would keep all for himself just to feed his lust for tyranny and torture. In Daniel 2:21 and 4:17, we can clearly see that only the Lord has the might over the mighty and over the helpless. He alone is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Souls fall into destruction and under devil's tyranny through the deception of sinful lust. The greater faith and confidence we have in the Lord, the softer our hearts get to receive the due of His blessings and to bring forth the fruits of Christ's Spirit. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Matthew 11:30. Verse number 14 indicates both God's goodness and wisdom and our blessedness in our Savior and Master. Only God knows His own and the end before the beginning. We recognize one another by our deeds. A righteous man can fall and get restored. A hypocrite can pretend godliness for a time. The Lord is not waiting for us to reach the end of our journey in faithfulness before He allows us to be partakers of Christ. The Father has given us the bread of life to feast in the wilderness of the sinful world, and His Spirit is restoring us in His grace every day and every step of the way. This abundance is in Christ. I cannot feast upon this bread outside Christ's fellowship and away from the gospel. If I am not sure I want to belong to the Lord to the end of earthly battle, trusting and obeying Him, I can starve my soul in spite of this abundant bread of heaven given to the faithful. God is Savior of obedient and Judge of sin. Thousands came out of Egypt, passed through the Red Sea, saw the peril of Egyptian armies, but only two, the faithful, entered into the promised land, leading a new generation of the children of Israel. The two remained faithful. We may not follow the majority. We must follow the Lord. He guides us by His Spirit and the Word of Truth.